beauty must have armor for feathers.
Figures. If it rains like this, it'd be a protection against the acid.
Ryan was still trying to get in a clean shot at the bird.
Nice theory, Mildred, but it doesn't help Doc. He'll have to try and deal with this himself.
Which was something Doc was attempting. His hand on the scrub had almost gone numb from the overload of damage and pain he was feeling. He felt his frock coat sleeve ripped by the iron-hard beak, and the similarly armored claws plucked at his pants, tearing through to the flesh beneath. He knew that unless he acted swiftly, he would be forced to let go of the scrub, let his other arm fall, and leave his face and eyes vulnerable to attack. He had to chance all on one throw of the dice. Duck had not in his youth been a gambling man, but since arriving in the Deathlands, he had learned that sometimes the long odds were the only ones. Like now. The bird's attack had been insistent and concentrated, yet not truly effective. Something at the back of Doc's mind told him that, sooner or later, the bird would have to fly away from him or change the angle of its attack in its attempt to penetrate his feeble defenses. When that happened, then Doc would have the briefest of moments in which to launch his own attack, or for his companions to come to his defense. Yet he knew he couldn't leave it to them, as they may be undergoing the same trial as himself. This was something he had to do alone, and it had to be soon. He prayed that it would not be long before his chance came. As Doc's mind raced to formulate some plan of action, the Black Hawk screeched once more. But was that a note of irritation or frustration he could hear in its cry? His moment had come. The bird, impatient with its ineffective attack, had drawn back in order to change the angle at which it attacked Doc. As it hovered just a few feet away from him, shining black wings flapping loudly and remorselessly in the air, blocking the sun, Doc used his few seconds respite in which to act. Still keeping his hand hold on the scrub, for in truth his shredded flesh was too numb to move with any speed, Doc moved the arm that had been flung protectively across his face. It seemed to him that his arm was moving in slow motion. He didn't take his eyes from the bird as it hovered, and he could see in its glittering dark eyes the recognition that he had made himself vulnerable. It wheeled in the air, rotating its body to swoop back and attack the unprotected face. All the while, Doc's free arm moved across his body to the Lama, which he kept in his belt. The heavy, double-barreled percussion pistol came up in his hand, leveled at the bird as it flew toward him. The black creature filled his vision, the heavy dark feathers gleaming in the light with an oily, almost metallic sheen. The razor-sharp, armored beak opened, exposing the red maw and fetid breath that was close enough to hit Doc in hot waves as it cried out. Underneath the bird's body, its claws were raised, ready to grip, tear, and rend. It took almost divine patience to wait until the barrels of the Lama were nearly touching the beak as it closed in, as his strained arm muscles were trembling, causing the pistol to waver slightly. Just a moment too soon, and some of the shot may have missed the bird. A moment too late, and the talons would have caused serious, perhaps fatal injury before he had discharged his shot. But Doc's timing was perfect. As the pistol touched the tip of the beak, his fingers tightened, gripping the stock of the pistol and squeezing the trigger. Ball and grape at enormous velocity discharged into the maw of the mutant bird. Although its outer feathers and possibly the skin underneath had become hardened and mutated to protect itself against the acid rains of the area, the inside of its body was still soft and fleshy. Even the armored beak could provide no protection against ball and grape at such close range. The bird's screech of agony was choked short as its throat disappeared in a spray of tangled flesh, blood, and feathers. The beak was ripped into sharp ribbons that whipped up into the glittering eyes, tearing them as it had torn at Doc and all its prey. The eyes, perhaps, registered surprise at its own natural advantage being turned against itself. But it was only brief, as life had already begun to flicker and die, as its brain was mashed by shots that ricocheted around the skull, breaking through the top and spreading fine splinters of bone and feathers into the air. For a split second, the rain became red, and the bird hovered at the apex of its flight, the body hanging in the air, bereft of the head. For the beak had become detached from the skull, which had itself imploded into thousands of fragments. The silence after the muffled explosion and the high-pitched cry was heavy and oppressive for that fraction of a second, broken only when the bird fell heavily, plummeting toward the bottom of the sheer rock face, hitting the incline where it began, only a few feet from Jack. While the others were still watching the bird fall, Ryan was edging toward Doc.
Doc, you ready to move?
Doc looked at Ryan.
I fear that I may still be paralyzed by fear, my dear. Oh, God. I'm so sorry, my friend. But I fear your name has temporarily escaped me.
Tears welled in the old man's eyes as he pushed the Lamont to his belt.
Don't worry about it, Doc. It'll come back soon. You've done the hard part. Now, let's get out of this rain.
Yes. I fear that it may be a great mistake to stay out in the rain. One could always catch pneumonia.
Although still trembling, Doc was able to descend from the rock face with a greater ease than any of the others would have thought possible. Perhaps because there was still enough adrenaline flowing in his veins to give him the extra strength and sureness of foot needed to make the descent. Ryan kept close to the old man, just to make sure that he was able to make the descent, and was relieved when they were all on the flat earth. The corpse of the Muti hawk, already crawling with insects, caught his eye.
Did I do that? I seem to recall...
Mildred took Doc by the arm.
I wouldn't worry about that right now. We need to worry more about getting to shelter.
Covering the exposed areas of their flesh as best they could, they set out on the hike to the old roadhouse. They trudged across the bare terrain, with hardly any scrub to provide shelter between the bottom of the hill and their destination.
Maybe we would have been better staying in the shaft.
Couldn't risk it, son. But if there'd been another slide, either trapping us or forcing us out, then we would have had to make the trek anyway.
The one-eyed warrior didn't like having his decisions questioned, especially by his own son. But if the boy could learn why a certain call was made, then Ryan was prepared to accept the occasional complaint. Besides which, the rain was getting harder as it blew across the flat earth, stinging his eye. It was more important to set a strong pace and reach the shelter of the roadhouse. The diner looked deserted, but looks could be deceiving. There had been no signs of life from the roadhouse while they were hiking across the 3 miles of plain between the hill and the two-lane blacktop, and certainly they had been in a position where they would have been open and easy prey if anyone in the building had wanted to mount an attack. Even so, there was no way they were going to walk straight in without doing a wreck first. While the others adopted defensive positions as best they could on the arid plain around the old road, Ryan and Jack went forward to carry out a quick survey of the building. Keeping low to the ground and fanning out to divide any possible fire, they approached the building from the side that had the fewest windows. Ryan took the front. There were double glass doors, with the glass still intact. One of the long windows was broken, but the other was still in place. Ryan dove to the duckboarding veranda tacked onto the front of the building to give it an old-world look. He crawled along under one of the windows, Sig Sauer in hand. He had left the Steyr with J.B. He took the double doors at a roll, landing beneath a table that he flipped up with a hefty kick of his left foot. He was now in cover and able to survey the inside of the building. It was empty and layered with undisturbed dust, enough to suggest that it was a long time since the diner had been in regular use.
Jack?
Clear out back.
The albino slid through the kitchen door, the .357 Magnum Colt Python still in his fist, red eyes still darting side to side, aware of any movement in his peripheral vision. Ryan rose to his feet.
Well, guess we're okay to rest up here, then.
He went to the side of the diner and opened the window. He could see the rest of the group, plainly visible, despite their best attempts to see cover in the sparse scrub. He gestured to them to come on, thankful that the diner hadn't been occupied. He judged that the weather had to be harsh in this part of the country, as the land was wind and rain blasted. The forest on the gentler slope of the hill could only have grown because the sheer rock face acted as a weather break. Truly, a rock and a hard place. The others had now gained the safety of the diner, and were glad to be out of the rain, which had increased in volume from a gentle spray to a hard shower that beat on the duckboard exterior of the building. Mildred divested herself of the outer layer of her clothing.
It's just as well this was here. I guess we've all had a few layers of skin softened. It's just a matter of how long we had until it started to peel.
Christy shrugged off her coat and pulled her hair back from her face.
Our skin'll still peel unless we can wash it off.
Her red tresses clung tightly to her, and not just because they were damp. They could sense the damage being caused by the rain.
We have attained shelter. To hope for ambrosia and nectar would be too much, would it not?
Doc seated himself at a padded bench seat by the window. No one replied directly, and it wouldn't have mattered, as the old man was off in a reverie, distant from his friends. Jack smiled slyly.
Maybe not that, whatever means, but one thing for sure, this place not that deserted.
Ryan furrowed his brow and cast a curious glance at Jack.
Meaning?
Someone used place sometime. Why else running water?
You're kidding. That would be too much to hope for.
She headed past Jack for the kitchen area at the back of the diner.
Watch what kind of water it is, Millie. If the supply is rainwater, well,